Richmond on 12.
12!
Hello, and welcome back to, what's the name of the show? It's been so long, I cannot even remember the name of the show.
Oh, well, we just reviewed this.
It is the Lasso Personal Dilemma Squad.
Ted Lasso.
No, it is the Lasso Personal Dilemma Squad.
I don't even know the name.
You don't even know. It's been so long.
I looked in my podcasting the other day that said we were inactive.
Yes.
Which is true.
Which
but it still
true.
Made me sad.
Yes. Well, in celebration of the announcement of the new season of Ted Lasso, I'm lying. No one made any announcements. No one knows exactly when it's coming out.
I couldn't believe you didn't tell me.
I'm assuming my best guess is March.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I'm picking March.
So we have like, what, 5 of these to do before March? Because we're finishing up, just for those of you who used to be with us or weren't with us.
That's assuming it happens in March. It's like...
We did season 2.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Then we went back and we started doing season 1.
Yes.
And we made it 4 or 3?
No. We made it to...
The pilot,
For the
biscuits,
Children. Trent Krim,
The Independent, and For the Children. So we did 4, and now we're on number 5, Tan Lines.
Tan Lines, yes.
And so it's our goal, and they haven't made an announcement yet. So it's still an achievable goal that we that we finish doing synopses and commentary on the rest of season 1 before season 3 comes out.
That's right.
And then we're all caught up.
Yeah. So this will finish the first half of season
haft.
First the half? First half of season 1.
Does it have a lot of heft?
Yes, it does. Season 2 has more heft, but this.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what you say is heft.
All right. Well.
All right.
Meanwhile, Ted Lasso, the show, continues to win awards. I think recently they won some more awards. But I heard they finished filming.
Okay.
Season 3. So
all right.
I'm sure it's coming out very, 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 very soon.
Because, you know, it's just editing and all that post-production work now.
Yeah. Simple.
Yeah.
Just get it out there. So.
And Apple TV doesn't have any preference for when it comes out. Just
and
as soon as it's done.
And just a heads up for all our new listeners. Right.
I'm sorry, everyone. Sarcasm alert.
All our old listeners who realized, oh, they're going to make more of these. And that if season 3 starts... And we have not completed the season 1. We are going to just roll with season 3.
We are?
Yeah. Why would we delay season 3?
Well, let's just finish season 1. How's that?
Yeah.
We'll concentrate on that.
Took me 3 hours watching this show, this particular episode.
To get ready for this podcast.
And what is this particular episode?
Tan Lines.
Tan Lines, of course.
One of the...
Episode 5.
Yeah, it's pivotal. And a little sad.
Yeah. A little melancholy. Well, actually, the next one is more melancholy.
But this one has elements of the melancholy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny.
And it is, well, as most of them are.
Yep.
They have some gems.
Well, let's start off. If you're new to the show, what we do is go through the episode scene by scene. And talk about the obvious things that happened in the scenes and some of the more obscure things that happened in the scene.
That's right. I'm here for obvious. He's here for obscure.
Yes.
We're both here for commentary.
Okay. We start off in the car park or a parking lot outside of the clubhouse at the where the practice pitch is.
Right.
Higgins' wife and 4 of his 5 sons are in.
There are 4 kids in that backseat? I thought there were just 3.
No, there's 4 4 sons in that backseat.
Well, the only one missing is the priest, the oldest.
Yeah, exactly. The older brother. And he's saying goodbye to his wife and thanking her for driving him to work. And she's very nice about it and said, hey, you know,
if it weren't for you, we wouldn't have money to fix the car. So yeah, exactly. No problem dropping
then,
you off.
Yeah. And then she says, say goodbye to your father. And then goodbye, bye, bye. And the one kid with the glasses, whatever. And then Ted Lasso comes walking by, going in, and he's looking at his phone, and Higgins calls out to him, says, hi, Ted, and he says, hi, Higgins, and then walks into the roll-up door
right.
that was not raised all the way up to expose the walk-in door, which I think is very, that was quite the safety hazard.
Sure it was. I'm sure it was just for this scene.
Yeah, it must have been Ned. He did it because he can't
reach
the... he's so short. He thought, oh, that's plenty of clearance. Did I say Ned?
Yes.
Yes, I did not.
And you called him short.
Yeah.
He's vertically challenged.
Well, we're going to get into that in a little bit.
He's a 0.001 miles tall. Yeah. Okay.
Next, we cut to Rebecca's office where we see Ted is speaking and he's got an ice pack on his forehead. And he's talking about how he keeps checking on the flight that his wife and his son, Michelle and Henry, are coming to London.
Right.
For a visit. And he confides in Rebecca and says, I'm having marital issues. And that they have their therapist gave them a word, Oklahoma.
Right.
Where if one of them says it, the other person has to tell the truth. And he said it did ruin the musical for him. And of course, Oklahoma was the first musical written by the duo of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Oh.
I did not know. Their first musical together. It's based on Lynn Riggins' 1931 play, Green Grow the Lilacs.
Oh, wow.
The original Broadway production opened in March 31st, 1943.
Wow, during the war.
Yeah. Hmm. What's interesting about this scene is that Rebecca is eating the biscuits and having tea
right.
while Ted's monologuing.
Right. And also that he shows, you know, his knowledge of Oklahoma, right?
Right.
So it's not out of character, him being from Kansas. That, like, this other plain state type thing would be, you know, he would be very familiar with it. So he says a couple of, you know, Surrey with the fringe on top and whatever. Oh, what a beautiful morning. And then she goes, shall we dance? And he's like, no, the no, king, that's, and I.
That king and I.
So he shows his knowledge of other musicals as well.
That's true. So we cut to Jamie.
Wait, hold on.
What?
You...
What? There's something else in the scene that...
yeah.
What?
He says to her, she says to him, are you opening up to me just because I opened up to you about Rupert for the children?
Yeah.
Right? So that's when she finally was vulnerable with him and said, you know, that she really, you know, this guy is really a mean guy and all this kind of stuff. And he says, yes. You know, and they have a really good use of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because he's like, but I bet you're really excited to be getting to know me. And she goes, yes, yes. And he goes, Oklahoma, no, no, I do not.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like totally like one of the funnier bits in this. What is a very serious scene where he's finally admitting why one of the reasons why he took this job was to give Michelle space.
Right.
At the suggestion of the therapist as well.
Yeah, well, we learn that later
in the
episode.
Oh, sorry, everyone. I also jump ahead.
Yeah, so we cut to Jamie Tart's house where Keeley walks in the front door and is calling out to Jamie, are you up yet? And she sees a woman in the kitchen.
Right.
And
they had just broken up.
The night before, yeah, at the party.
At the gala, and
But when you enter Jamie Tart's house, you know, it's a pretty straightforward scene. He says, you know, she goes, oh, we haven't broken up for 24 hours and you're already with somebody else. And he says, what am I supposed to do? Shower alone? And, you know, being Jamie Tart.
Right. But, and I love that the woman he's sleeping with is like a fan of Keeley's. Yeah. I follow you on Insta Plus and your Snap, blah, blah. And Keeley's like, great. You know, thanks.
So I noticed some things about Jamie Tart's house. When you first walk in, there's this sculpture and it looks almost like a balloon animal sculpture.
I thought it was a dog.
Yeah, it looks like a dog and it's gold and it's kind of roundish and stuff. Very an abstract dog. And
yeah.
So when I looked at it, I said, it's almost balloon animal like. So when I looked up balloon animal sculptures, you won't believe how many balloon animal sculptures actually exist in different styles, you know. And
oh, my goodness.
Most of them look like a dog.
Right.
And but I couldn't find that particular one. But I noticed when they're in the kitchen, on the shelf in the kitchen, like it, for the most part, his house looks tastefully decorated. Mm-hmm. But in the kitchen, there's a couple of shelves, and on the counter and on two of the shelves are like Japanese giant robot toys, like Voltron style. Like it was too blurry to make out exactly what characters they were, but there were like three of those. And then there was a picture of Jamie Tart.
Of course there was.
A profile picture of him sitting up there. That one killed me.
That's so funny.
He's got a picture of himself in his kitchen.
Of course he does. Yeah. Why would he have a picture of anyone else?
And then Keeley, you know, when Keeley leaves, she leaves the keys right before she walks out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. He just shows how dense he is.
Yeah. You know? Because,
you know, she says, hey, you know, thanks. You know, usually I feel bad for breaking up with somebody and I second guess my decisions. And here you are sleeping with somebody already. So I don't feel bad at all. And he's like, you're welcome.
Yeah. Like immediately, like he doesn't. Oh, you're welcome. Like he do.
He doesn't understand that she might be upset.
But she doesn't. He also doesn't understand her sarcasm.
Right.
Yeah.
He's pretty obtuse.
Yeah. Took what she said literally.
Yeah.
We go to the practice pitch after this. And then Ted yells at Jamie when Sam is wide open and Jamie doesn't pass. He tells him that they're going to get their butts kicked unless they get it right. And that means extra passes. And he said, we're going to keep doing it until we get it right. And then he hears Henry on the other side of the practice pitch. And then he just says, practice canceled, Henry. And he runs over there. And that's when Ned says, that's a lot farther run.
Nate.
Again with the Ned.
I'm going to get you a post-it note.
I not do this? We haven't done this show in forever, and I'm still calling Ned.
Well, he's little Ted.
So Nate says it's a lot further than I thought it was. So I said, we know that the real Nelson Road Stadium is Crystal Palace's stadium.
Right.
It's in fact in Selhurst. But the training ground, I never looked up where that is.
Oh.
So the training pitch is actually the home of Hayes and Yeading football club.
Hayes and Yeading?
Hayes and Yeading. Y-E-A-D-I-N-G.
Oh, wow.
Or Yeading or whatever. That was founded by the merger of Hayes FC and Yeading FC in 2007. And they are in the Southern League Premier Division South, a tier of the English football pyramid. Their home ground, Beaconsfield Road, is conveniently next to the West London Studios where Ted Lasso was filmed.
Oh, okay.
So
that's cool.
So that's where the practice pitch actually is.
Right. Well, and that's also where you see Jamie being unsportsmanlike again. where he says, but when Sam, you know, you need to practice to Sammy's, why, you know,
pass it to Sam,
it's wider open. Shit. Yeah, even when he's open, he's still shit.
Yeah.
And then Sam's like, I heard my name, what's up? He's such a, like a, you know, like a happy puppy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then they were like, never mind, you okay? Bird and says, he just goes away.
Yeah, Bird said, don't worry about it.
So, but that's your first glimpse of like this. I mean, you've probably saw it previously, but I just don't remember.
What?
It establishes in this episode his unsportsmanlike conduct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he runs over to his kids and.
I thought you were going to tell me how far it was.
I tried. I was going to look and see how big the field was, but.
Right. Well, and also he, you know, like Nate says, I don't think he realizes how far that is.
Yeah.
But then when he gets there, he's winded. He's like, I thought you would meet me halfway, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they just stand there waiting for him. But it reminded me of the first time where Nate was like, get off the pitch. Right. Like when they first, in the very first episode, he was like, don't get on the pitch.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they didn't get on the pitch.
Right.
I thought, like, actually the right instinct
mm-hmm.
whereas he, you know, wanted them to be as excited to see him as he was to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see his first glimpse of his relationship with his, with Henry.
And with Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad. You
know, how, you know, how jokingly smooth he is with Henry and stuff like that. You can tell he's a great dad to him.
Right. But you also saw where he said to Michelle, like, I missed you. And then he immediately had to like bite that back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we go to the offices where Higgins and Rebecca are walking through the door, and Higgins says, I have one bit of, you know, bad news, and that is we haven't sold out for the weekend's match. And Rebecca said, we've lost four in a row, you know, so that's understandable.
And we're facing relegation,
And we're facing relegation, and I think it's going smashingly and stuff like that, and, you know.
Yeah, because we were already aware of her wanting to
Tank the team.
Tank the team.
Right.
Yeah. But he's still, you know, he's still a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't help it.
Now we cut to the media room.
Oh, okay.
And that's where Jamie Tartt's doing his promo.
Oh, that's what we forgot to
press
say.
Press conference, yeah.
That when Keeley, she left, Keeley confirmed that he was still going to do the photo shoot.
The photo shoot for the beer. Yeah, for Darsteiner.
Darsteiner.
And the label, it's Darsteiner Pilsner.
Right.
And on the label, it says, Darsteiner Brewing Company, brewed in Germany, and it has the kind of tagline, clean and crisp.
Well, that's good.
And that's when he's saying he's a brand ambassador for Darsteiner. They're taking pictures of him. He exposes a couple of Chinese characters on his bicep, and he says, oh, you need to get these in the picture. It's my favorite tattoo. It's Chinese for arm.
Right.
And turns out it's not Chinese for arm.
Oh.
It is Chinese for sunset.
Oh.
He doesn't even know what it says on his own tattoo.
Right. But that's not off brand.
Yeah.
But then he was fooling around with the putting on his forehead the brunicorn. Oh,
yeah, the brunicorn and his beer bee.
But Rebecca comes in and says, you aren't with this guy, are you? And and that's when she said, no, I set this up. I get 10%.
Right, right.
You know, so.
So Rebecca says, do you want to do branding work for the team? You know, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it shows the entrepreneurial thing. And also speaking to that feminist thing, right, where she said, are you giving me this job because I was nice to you in the loo the other night? And she goes, oh, come on. Men give each other jobs and lose all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So speaking to that old boys network.
Right.
Right. That, you know, there's nothing wrong with women you know,
supporting each other.
Yeah. You turned that off.
Yeah. I muted it because I didn't want to get the cup hitting the table sound.
Right. Right. So anyway, yeah. So she's going to look into doing PR for other members of the team.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be, that lays the foundation for Gilly's business, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
You can see the building blocks of a lot of stories that come out in season two from this season.
Right.
So then we go to outside the pub. Ted is walking there with Michelle and Henry, and he gives him a little primer on British names for foods. And he said, like, chips or crisps, French fries or chips or crisps, and bangers are just not just the great songs, but they taste so good that you feel like dancing.
Right.
And like British bangers are sausages, of course, and they're served with mash most of the time, mashed potatoes, and brown gravy and peas. That's a standard British pub food.
Right.
Which wants me, okay, I'll have some of that. Well, I used to when I ate sausage.
But, right.
It is traditional British pub food, so you can probably get it anywhere in most pubs.
Right. You
know, besides fish and chips.
Yep.
And she says, do they wrap the fish and chips in paper? I heard they do that. Mm-hmm. And pre-1980s, they did, and that was a cost-saving measure for fish and chips vendors who used to walk around, you know, like you see in the old-timey cartoons, the cigarette vendors with the tray hanging off of their thing. Yeah. That's how people would sell fish and chips on a tray like that. And they'd walk around selling it, and they would use old newspaper. And then they found out, you know,
that
ink is not exactly non-toxic, so they don't do that anymore.
But they had this whole little thing about how, like, that would be his dream, that he always wanted something, food that taught him something.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like, a cute little insight into Ted and their relationship, right? That, like, she knew that he would love that.
Plus, it has the scene where May gives Henry the darts and says, don't hit any of the regulars. And he hits the most regular. Of the regulars.
That's right. Paul. but I love when he comes back and they're like, you're done already. And then
Jeremy
says he probably should be. And you look over and Paul's got the dart hanging on his arm. And he goes, and they're like, we're sorry. It's okay.
Happens all the time.
And then Jeremy goes and flicks it. Yeah. Just like such a thing Jeremy would do. Oh, I just want to see what would happen.
No, Baz does that.
Oh, Baz, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Jeremy. Oh, that is one of the funniest makes me laugh every time.
So in the clubhouse, Jamie and Keely are talking about the photo shoot. It's my favorite Jamie Tartt moment. It's the perfect. She's saying she's going to weed out all the bad pictures. And he says, first of all, there's not going to be any bad pictures because of. And then he just points to his face.
That's right. Yeah.
And I said, oh, man, that is classic.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually a great counterpoint or, you know, building of the theme of how it's all about him, like the vanity and the self-centeredness. That, like, it's seemingly two different storylines, but it's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his growth after that, you know, and even what I like, especially later when he learns the error of his ways and becomes a better teammate and all of that. It's not 100% change. It's not like a Scrooge change. Like all of a sudden.
It's not a magical transformation.
Yeah, he's magically transformed. He still has the touch of selfish Jamie in him, as you saw. Like we were rewatching the Christmas episode.
Right.
Carol of the Bells.
Yeah.
Because of Christmas season, of course.
Yes.
The new tradition.
Right.
And where he doesn't get a present for Secret Santa. And then when they wrap up a present for him to give and he says, God bless me, everyone.
Yep.
Jamie and Kayla are talking about the photo shoot. He makes an advance on her saying, hey, let's go back to my place and get naked.
We'll look at these and maybe we're naked.
Yeah. And Roy sees, witness this, and when she shoots Jamie down, he says, good for her, and I don't see what you see in him anyway. And she says, first of all, I'm not with him. Second of all, it's none of your business.
Right.
And
then he's like, but I, you know, good for you. Good decision or whatever. Yeah, and she's like, oh, should I check with you every time I need to make a decision?
Every time I'll check with you. And she walks down the hall and then Roy gets a text and it's Keeley saying,
my bladder's full.
I want to go pee. And there's a toilet.
Can I go pee?
There's a toilet emoji there.
Oh my God. But he's also like yelling after her, like the inane stuff. Today you wouldn't pass to Sam and Sam was wide open. See, that's what I'm dealing with. Yeah. It's so funny how he's like.
But when he looks at it and he gets all like, and then he goes, yes. But what's funny is later, when you see that text string,
yes,
his response is the face,
the angry face with the swear word
rectangle over the mouth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So then we are back at Ted's flat, and Ted and Henry are building a Lego double decker bus.
I had one of those when I was a kid.
You obviously didn't have the one that they were building.
Well, probably because that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, no.
I don't think it was the same.
No, I looked it up. Lego actually has a couple of them. One's like $24, but that's not the one they were building.
Oh.
They were building the one that right now on Amazon costs $152.
Well, of course it does. He's the big manager of a Premier League football team. $152
for a Lego set.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Lego, that.
Well, don't forget, he's in the guilt. He's like in the guilt gift stage, too.
When I used to work for Toys R Us and I used to steal Lego men.
You never stole Lego men.
Yeah, I never left the store with them, but I used to wear them in my pocket.
Right.
Like,
that's not stealing. That's appropriating.
Yeah. They were on display for customers to see. And they said, I want to buy some of those Lego men.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
that was back in the olden days when I actually worked retail.
Right. So they're going to build this bus and then they're going to ride it. And so then Michelle sits down and they're going to build it together.
And he says, I like that. It's kind of a Field of Dreams paradigm. Of course, Field of Dreams is the Kevin Costner movie from 1989.
Wow.
It's a big American
sport. Way to make me feel old.
American sports movie about a man who hears a voice and builds a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield and ghostly players come to play.
That's right. If you build it, they will come.
That's right. So then it rolls into a montage of them building the bus and a real family moment and stuff.
And then they're sleeping with Henry between them in the bed.
And he's got a smile. He's got a smile on his face. Like he said,
that he's so happy they're there. He's
so happy.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So what's the next scene?
We're in the shopping area near Ted's flat. And Ted is carrying cups of coffee, take out cups of coffee in a bag.
Uh-huh.
And the wanker man, the old tells him not to.
Oi, wanker.
You don't F up the match and all that. And as he's walking away,
the guy gives him the
up yours two finger, up yours salute, which was considered there's folk tales about it being used in Australia and New Zealand. The most popular being that when the English bested the French in the Hundred Years' War with their fancy high-tech longbows, the V handshape of the archers lining up the arrows became a battle gesture.
Oh, I don't know about that.
There is no evidence to support the story. And quite a lot of evidence to contradict it, although that doesn't stop the story from being told.
Right. Thanks for perpetuating that.
Thank you. You're welcome. Hey, I didn't perpetuate it. Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, but now you've just perpetuated yet another medium.
That's right. Yeah. I'm part of the problem.
You are, Mr. Misinformation.
Walks into his flat, hands Henry a scone. He says it tastes like a muffin, except it sucks all the spit out of your mouth.
Which is so true.
Yeah. And a scone is a baked good usually made of either wheat or oatmeal with baking powder as a leavening agent and baked on sheet pans. A scone is often slightly sweetened and occasionally glazed with egg wash.
And in Australia, they call it a rock cake.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm.
The scone is a basic component of the cream tea. It differs from tea cakes and other types of sweets that are made with yeast.
Right.
Scones were chosen as the Republic of Ireland's representative for Cafe Europe during the... Okay, enough of the scones.
You're making me hungry, though.
I know. I want a scone.
I want a scone.
Okay, and...
But the ones they sell in Trader Joe's don't suck all the spin
out
of your
mouth. No, they don't.
Those are more muffin-like.
We do have a couple of scones in the freezer.
We do. Okay, we're going to have to pause. I'm going to have to get those out.
Get some scones.
Yeah. Scoonage. All right.
So that's when you see Ted pick up the peanut butter and stick his finger in it. We didn't mention that earlier that he said Sam was wide open as the jar of peanut butter on my kitchen counter. And everyone's looking quizzically at it.
Right. And he goes, oh, that's right. You don't know. I keep it open.
So I can stick a finger in it anytime I go by. So he's there and he sticks a finger in it. And then he sees Michelle looking out the window, and when she turns around, she's crying.
Yeah.
That's when he...
He uses Oklahoma.
He uses Oklahoma, and she tells him she's trying to feel like she felt back when they first met, and she can't.
Right.
That's when Henry comes in wearing a Richmond jersey with no pants.
Right, so kid to the rescue.
Yeah, so she can take Michelle it, goes him. Off of them. Then we cut to the coach's office, and Ted is talking about the problems with Michelle, with Nate, and Beard. And you get some insight into Beard.
Right.
When Nate asks him if he's ever been married, and he just gives that, ha!
Yeah.
And Ted goes, you know,
his philosophy
on relationships are the same as grilling a steak.
Right.
Once you, if you spend more than 5 minutes on one, it loses its flavor.
Right.
And he goes, right, coach? And Beard just goes, yeah.
obviously. Yeah. So then, is that when...
So that's when Nate says, why did you go 4,438 miles away? And he goes, boy, that you had that number on top of your head. And he goes, my father was a cartographer. He used to say I'm 0.001 miles tall, which would make Nate...
5'4"?
5'2".
Oh, 5'2"?
About 5'2".
Oh.
If he's 0.001 miles tall.
Right.
Or 5.2 feet. So that'd be about 5'3".
Yeah. That's why I was thinking 5'4".
Yeah. Also, from Wichita State University, which is where I'm assuming Ted lived near there.
Uh-huh.
So Wichita State University to Richmond, England, Richmond, UK, is, what is it? I had it written down there, 4,506 miles. So Nate saying 438 is still pretty close, because depending on the location of
where
they are.
Which is interesting, because that seems to me that Nate knows exactly where Ted lived.
Yeah, he would have to know exactly where Ted lived to the stadium, to the clubhouse.
Right.
So.
No, but lived in Kansas.
That's right. Yeah. Where he lived in Kansas. Because I'm going by the university.
And he knows where Ted lives because they met.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before For the Children.
Yep.
Yeah. Before the gala.
So that's when Higgins comes in and asks if anyone saw his phone. And Beard hands him his iPhone.
Well, he didn't ask if anybody had it. He goes, I was told you have my phone.
Yeah. So Beard hands him the iPhone. And it's and I thought it was an iPhone SE second generation. But then I did some digging.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm sure people are like, okay, now we're talking about generations of Apple products.
Ted asks him.
Ted asks him about his relationship with his wife, and he said he's been married for 28 years, 28 years, 5 boys, 3 dogs, and 1 20-year-old cat whose impending death will wreck him emotionally.
Right.
And that is, of course, we find out later, the
Cindy
name of the
Clawford.
Cindy Clawford is the name of the cat. And somewhere between this one and the next episode, she dies.
She dies, yeah. And one tiny house. And so then that's when Ted asks him basically for advice or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have had ups and downs. He goes, did you not hear the 5 boys?
Yeah.
The impending cat death in one tiny house. And he says, you know, but when you're with the right person, the bad times don't seem bad.
Right. Basically. And Ted goes, oh, someone called 911. Somebody dropped a truth bomb.
Right.
And they are a little confused. And then Beard says, no, don't they do 999 here?
Right.
And that's when Ted says, oh, 1 digit, you know, for butt dials and all of that. Right. That seems troublesome. But what's interesting is 911, the American emergency number, started in 1968.
Right.
In England, 999 started in 1937.
Wow.
And there are 2 emergency numbers in England.
888?
No, there's 999.
Uh-huh.
And 112.
Oh.
112 is Europe.
Oh.
The European Union.
Right.
So if you dial that in England, it still gets you the emergency number. And I don't know if it works this way in England, but it does work here that if you were to dial 999... Or 112, it would forward to the emergency response. Because they know people are going to be from other countries here.
Right, freaking out.
Might dial their home emergency number.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either until I researched this. That I found was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Then we go back to the locker room.
Before the game?
Yeah, and that's Roy gets all the team in a circle to put their hands in, and they do Richmond on 3, and then they yell and then go out onto the pitch. Everyone except Jamie Tartt.
Right.
And Jamie Tartt is looking at himself in the phone, like taking selfies of himself. Who else you can take selfies of?
That's right.
But Ted walks up to him a little pissed and says, you know, are you a germaphobe? Because I didn't see your hand in there.
Right.
And Jamie basically says,
he's not feeling it.
Yeah. I'm the best on the team. I'm the only one anyone comes to see. And no matter what you say, all I hear in my head is people singing Jamie Tartt. Jamie Tartt. Which, of course, is a
Baby Shark.
Baby Shark, which... Baby Shark became very popular when Pinkfong, a South Korean entertainment company, released a version of the song with a YouTube music video that went viral.
Mm-hmm. When was that? When did it go viral?
November of 2020.
When was this filmed? Before that. So it wasn't November. That wasn't the version that was the popular one.
Oh, no. There was a version previously to that.
Right.
But this version is the one that blew up around the world.
Right. But it was after this came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it had 10 billion views, over 10 billion views on YouTube.
Wow. Well, it is catchy. Undeniably catchy, as Ted says.
Ted gets really pissed at this, and once again, Henry comes in to defuse the situation.
Right.
And sees Jamie Tartt and asks him to sign his
jersey.
And Jamie is overly nice to him. Like you can tell.
Well, they're always nice to the fans.
He acts the way he acts with fans and other kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. He knows enough to do that. He's not that dense.
Right.
He knows branding. You can't be an asshole to kids or fans.
Right.
So he does this and kind of looks at Ted at the same time, like, it's kind of almost like a dig at him.
Right. Because the son is asking for his autograph. Yeah. And then we get to see again the self-centered behavior. He goes, when I score a goal out there, I'm going to do it for you and for me.
Yeah.
Mostly for me, but also for you.
Yeah.
Right. So he's, and then that's pretty much it.
Right. And then he goes out on the pitch and Ted takes Henry and they're walking out. And of course, Henry's singing the Jamie Tartt song.
Yep.
And now you jump between
the game,
like the pub and the game and stuff like that. So,
and up in the stands.
Up in the stands.
Right.
So Baz, Paul and Jeremy and May are all watching the game at the pub. And it opens up where the opposing team, I'm not sure who the opposing team was. I tried to look up their abbreviation. I couldn't find it.
They didn't mention it.
And they were, it was on the second goal. So it was 2-0.
In the first 6 minutes.
Yeah. And they're all yelling about Ted Lasso in the bar. And the whole crowd at the field is
yelling wanker,
is yelling wanker. And then play goes on. Sam gets hurt. First game, Jamie scores a goal
at like 29 minutes.
Yeah. And starts pointing at himself at his name on the back of his jersey and just yelling me.
Right. And the whole crowd is going, Jamie Tartt. And so, and they're doing that at the pub too.
Right. So, Sam gets hurt and goes down. And Jamie callously steps over him. And Roy gets pissed and tells him to go check on his teammate. And he bends down and he rolls Sam over.
Right.
And that's when Roy goes after him and they have and they're trying. The teams hold them, both of them back.
Right.
And then ref comes over and yellow cards them.
Right.
And they're saying for my own teammate. And Arlo White says, we haven't seen this since Newcastle in 2005. That's when two players on the same team went at it and they were both ejected from.
Wow.
They were both sent off.
Was just a warning, at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's funny is when that is happening on the little display board that rings the pitch, the advertising board.
Right.
There's a thing for this kind of Bengay type liniment heat rub, and it just said like heat rub in like blood red letters in a cartoon action bubble, and the rest of the it's all red. And I said, oh, that's funny, he's all pissed off and they're showing something red and hot on the display board.
Right. And also he's injured.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, I wonder if that was intentional.
Right.
Then Jamie scores.
Hold on.
What?
That's when, Roy Kent tells Sam how to handle the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, are you hurt? And he goes, well, it doesn't hurt anymore, but I thought it was best just to lay down here.
Yeah.
Like, because he didn't know what to do. And then he starts to get up. And that's when Roy says, no, stay down, and tells him how to do it theatrically. Right.
Yeah.
Get up and kind of limp and, wave. You'll bravely go on. Right. And it was so funny because he does that in Arlo White and whoever that other guy are. Their commentary is exactly, oh, is he hurt? Oh, no, but he's signaling to the crowd that he can briefly go on or whatever. It's so funny.
So Jamie scores second goal to tie it at 2-2. Mm-hmm. And he's doing the me again. And Ted sees the rest of the team, looks over and sees the rest of the team. There's Jamie standing by himself, congratulating himself, and the rest of the team looking resentful over on the other side of the pitch. And he knows he's got to do something. So he runs up into the stands.
And again, a comment about his stamina.
Yeah. Because
they said he's not slowing down.
You know, that's impressive cardio from Ted running up all those stairs. And he goes up to the owner's box.
Where Michelle and Henry are sitting next to Keeley.
Yeah.
Who is sitting next to Rebecca with Higgins on the other side.
Yeah.
And he goes up and says, I want to bench Jamie. And the look on
Higgins' face when he says that, like, Higgins is like super shocked, like, what? Like,
what, are you nuts? But also it was cute because, like, you know, Michelle and Henry's like, good job, Dad, or whatever,
Exactly. So nice. Encouraging him and stuff like that.
And he's like, so nice. Oh, yeah, thanks, son, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then says, you know, and the look on, Keeley's face too is utter shock.
Yeah.
The two of them. And then you know, right, that this is playing right into Rebecca's plans. Like, go ahead.
Yeah.
When I support you 100%, Ted, it's just showing that total duplicitous.
Yeah.
You know.
So he runs down on the back on the field. I like he calls the side judge over.
Highlighter. And
he calls him highlighter because the color of the jersey, you know, the shirt.
Which it took us like three watches to really pick up on that.
Because I thought he was saying highliner. I thought that was the name of what they called that judge.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, then I realized, oh no, he's saying highlighter because of the color of
that,
the shirt.
That yellow orange, that yellow green color, the neon yellow.
And he benches Jamie. And Jamie, of course, is shocked. The whole fan, everybody's shocked. Arlo White shocked everybody. And the crowd really gets on them and start screaming. You know, they start chanting, you don't know what you're doing. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then it's halftime. And the team goes into the locker room.
Yeah. When do they cut to the pub?
There.
But then where's the thing where they said, but he's got a nice family? When does that happen?
Oh, that was Paul.
So Paul goes, but he has a nice family.
Yeah, because they
humanize him.
That was right in the beginning when when they were chanting wanker. And he goes, he's got a nice family, though.
And Bass is like, damn it, don't humanize him. Which I thought was really funny. They said, I don't know what reception he's going to get in the locker room because Jamie Tartt doesn't just sit on the bench. He just walks right off the field. Yeah. And then when they go into the locker room,
he's gone.
He picks up, you know, it's Nate picking up his jersey off the floor.
Right. So Roy tells the team to sit down and listen.
Right.
And, you know, it's his first show of respect to Ted. Tells them all to sit down and listen. And Ted gives a little speech about saying this team is broken and we got to change and there are things. And as he's going through the speech, he's talking more and more about his relationship with himself and Michelle, which you start seeing the looks on Beard's face and some of the players like, where the heck is he going with this?
Right.
When he's talking about her and helping her move on with her life. And they're all looking, and he goes, of course, I mean, lady football. When by her, I mean, lady football. And the reactions
are funny.
Yeah, because Roy, the main reaction is Roy gives this really quizzical look, and he kind of cocks his head and looks down like, what?
Right.
Isaac.
He's like, oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah, points and says like, yeah, that's right. And Richard acts like it's the biggest revelation he's ever heard. He like sticks his head. He's looking up with his eyes closed, and he just, and I know this is an audio podcast, but I'm going to do it for Ellie here. And he just goes, you know, like, oh yes, of course. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But it's also where the name of the episode comes from, because he starts off by talking about, you know, we're broken and we have to change, and change is scary. And then he starts talking about puberty.
Right. He talks about recess, because I looked that up too, because recess is not called recess in England.
Oh.
In Australia, it's called recess.
Okay.
And in America, it's called recess, but it's either called break or playtime.
Oh, okay.
In England.
So, yeah, he's talking about recess, and he's talking about, you know, my art teacher, Ms. Scanlon. Right.
Yeah.
You know, bends over and you get all squiggly inside. And he goes, and that's a, you know, first time I saw a tan line.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny because it's such a, like, it's so poignant and something that everyone in the room can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so sincere. It's not lecherous or anything like that. Right. He does such a great job of delivering that whole speech, you know, with that sincerity that he has, this authenticity, and and like, this is it, really, he is saying it in a way that everybody can understand, even if they don't know what recess is.
Yeah,
he like paints such a picture with that anecdote, and then goes into this thing where then when it veers off, right? Yeah. And Beard's like, nice save.
Yeah. And the last thing he does, he tells them all, he goes, I want you to all look at me
And listen up.
Then he slaps the believe sign as he walks out.
Yeah.
And
people jump.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So then we cut back to the pitch. We're going to bounce between all of the locations again. We are back at the pitch, and Arlo White saying that how well they played even without Jamie Tartt. And there's 2 minutes left in the game. And it's still 2-2. And they get the ball, and Roy gets the ball and runs down the field. And of course they hammer it home with Arlo White's commentary. So is he going to take it himself as Jamie Tartt would?
Right.
Except Roy
does the pass, does to the a extra wide pass. Open Obasanya.
Yeah, and Obasanya buries it, and they win 3-2. And everyone on the field goes crazy. Everyone in the bar goes crazy in a impossible rain of beer.
Yes.
Everyone in the bar dancing in a beer fountain.
Right.
And everyone on the field, and then Beard calls. Oh, before that, Roy comes over and says, it took a lot of balls to do what you did. And then shakes Ted's hand. And it's like his first you're the coach moment.
Yeah.
With Roy.
Yeah.
You know.
And he says, balls are all we got.
Yeah, that's all we got, Roy. Yeah. And then the crowd is chanting wanker, and Beard calls him over and says, you hear that? And he goes, oh, it's the same word they were saying before. He goes, yeah, but different.
Yeah, because it's now a chant of support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets him to, steers him into saying Ronald Reagan so he can do his Doc Brown impression from Back to the Future.
That's right. Ronald Reagan, the actor?
Yeah.
Which I'm not doing a good one.
Henry comes out, and he asks Ted, what's a wanker? And Ted uses a line that was recycled from their little Ted Lasso commercial for the Premier League soccer that they did on, that this whole show is based on.
Right.
And it's the same joke where a wanker is a man who likes to be alone with his thoughts.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then he puts him on his shoulders and brings him out on the pitch, and everybody's, you know, screaming. Yeah.
And then we're outside the pub. It's late at night, and you see Ted and Michelle standing out with umbrellas, and
Shannon playing
soccer with Henry.
Yeah.
And he tells he tells, you know, that he's reminiscing about when they first met and stuff. And he tells her that she doesn't have to try anymore, that he's letting her go. And this is where you see another little foreshadowing where he says, I promised myself I'd never quit anything in my life.
Right.
And we find out later in the season two episode, that's when his father committed suicide. He made that promise.
Right. But she said, she was the one who says, you weren't quitting. You're just letting me go.
Right. And then they go and
get in the cab.
And this is the first time I noticed it after watching it. You know, like I noticed it previously, but this is the first time, you know, at one point in the show, this was the first time I noticed that Ted says, I appreciate you to people.
Oh, yeah.
When to Shannon. He says it to Shannon. Now, he said it before a lot of times. He said it to the highlighter.
Right.
And, you know, I heard him say it. But this is the first one where I'm saying, that probably makes people feel good.
Right.
And I started using that to end my emails on a lot of things. And people do seem to really like it.
That's good.
Like I get a response with that one, like a you're welcome type of response where you normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right after they leave, Beard just appears
with a couple of pints.
With a couple of pints in his hand, and he gives it on to Ted, and they sit down on the bench, and they don't say anything to each other. And they clink their glasses and then tap them down on the bench and then drink them. And that's when the episode ends.
Right.
Now, that goes back many years, and there's many reasons why people tap their glass on the bar or whatever. One is to pay your respects to friends who couldn't make it or falling friends instead of pouring them a shot.
Right.
Like in the old days, you used to pour an extra one for fallen comrades. Or it could be in ancient Ireland, drinkers at the pub thought their whiskey might have evil spirits that could be harmful if consumed. But if you tapped the glass, those demons would run away.
Oh, wow.
And there is a few other ones, but no one knows exactly for sure why do that.
So I always, because they've had drinks before where they don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was wondering what it was about this, you know, Beard knowing that they're he knows they're breaking up. Right.
Right.
I mean, he heard the locker room speech. He saw them talking.
Yeah.
You know, he knows his friend is going to be broken up.
Right.
So he comes over with those beers and then they do it. Almost like it's so that I was always thinking that they did it that time for a specific reason to acknowledge that Michelle was leaving or something like that. Right.
Yes, like something significant.
Yeah. Something. But it doesn't really fit with those things.
Right.
Unless it's also, you know, just something that they do because they aren't sitting at a table. Do you know what I mean? So but I don't know. Anyway, I was always thinking that it's very poignant when they do it in this. And I'm wondering if there's more to it than just like, here we are. Yeah,
because I'm trying, as you were saying that, I was trying to think to see if they ever did it again. I think they may have.
I think they did it again in season two. But like I said, they don't do it always.
No, they don't.
So that's why I was wondering if it is like the dispelling the evil spirits, you know, because in this situation, right, they aren't looking at each other.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that whole thing in Europe and stuff where you clink glasses, you're supposed to look each other in the eye.
Right.
In the States, we don't really do it. We always look at the glass.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. We're looking at the glasses and not at each other. So I didn't know if it was just because they aren't looking at each other that they do that to acknowledge each other.
Okay.
Or it could be the evil spirit or acknowledging that like they're going on a trip. So like, good luck to them, like cheers to them. They're on their way or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could just be.
Yeah. And one of the theories is that it's also like a toast to the house.
Uh-huh.
You know, like,
right.
you're toasting each
like
other.
Like an acknowledgement.
And an acknowledgement to the barkeep. And
yeah.
The, and,
and so maybe that's it too, because they're outside.
Yeah.
And having the drinks.
But
now I'm getting thirsty.
Yeah. So, and that's the end. And then we roll into credits.
And we roll into the credits.
This one was a bit of a tearjerker. I did shed a tear at the end the first time I watched this episode.
Right. Well, there's a lot of crying in it.
Yeah.
You know, Michelle's crying. He's crying, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough. And it's rainy at the end. So it's, you know, just generally, you know, lachrymose.
Yeah. And I mean, and major things happen in this episode. You know, you get Ted's wife introduced and is, you know, find out it's going to be his ex-wife. And then you have Jamie Tart being benched and the team rallying around each other.
Right.
And
yeah, a lot of endings and beginnings.
The first real team building that they're responding to.
Right.
To Ted.
Right. No, it's a lot of endings and beginnings. Keeley breaking up with Jamie Tart, right? And moving on. Her getting a new job with the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's nothing really new with Higgins and Rebecca, but you know,
but we learn about the one stable relationship in on the whole show is Higgins
and his wife.
And his wife,
yeah,
is the one like really stable relationship. They really love each other. They've been together a long time. They have a family, and they still support each other.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and we know that his wife doesn't like Rebecca.
That's right.
I hope your boss gets heart disease.
Yeah, that was. You know. And she does it with a smile. That's what's so funny about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, we didn't introduce ourselves in the beginning.
We didn't?
No, because we're so rusty. That's Jim and I'm Ellie. When you called me Ellie in the middle, I was like, oh, I don't think we introduced ourselves.
Oh, that's right.
You can find back episodes of this podcast at damshow.co.
Damshow.co. Damshow, damshow.co, not .com, .co. There you can find back episodes, all the back episodes of this show, as well as the other fine podcast at the Damn Junior Podcasting, the Hallmarks the Spot, of course, where Ellie and I also do Hallmark movie reviews.
Right.
We are going to be doing our Christmas recaps soon.
Yep.
Haven't done one of those in a long time either. Mm-hmm. So we're getting back.
We've been on hiatus.
Yeah. Back on the wagon. Back on the wagon. Back in the swing.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Speaking of Oklahoma.
And also Destroyal movies could be found there. Our email address is
dilemmasquad1@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's dilemma squad, the number one.
All one letter, all one word.
Yeah, dilemmasquad1@gmail.com.
Yep. So drop us a line. If you have any insights, anything that we missed, feel free. I know there are a couple things. I tried not to belabor every point. I may have left one or two out. But if you're
absolutely dying to leave a 5-star review at iTunes or Podchaser, hey, I'm not going to stop you.
That's right.
You should really, it would help us out in the ratings.
Yeah.
And also help us out financially. You can go and use the Amazon link at the Amazon. The Amazon link takes you to Amazon.
It was really good that we did this before Christmas when people were going to Amazon a lot.
Exactly.
You know, we're very savvy.
Well,
when you're
doing your returns and buying other things, go to Amazon.com through our link.
That's right.
It doesn't cost you a penny extra. Just do your shopping as normally, but we'll get a little commission on your sale.
Yeah. And I think that's it.
And that's it.
Are we on Mastodon or anything?
Not show-wise. I am. I do have an account on Mastodon,
for
yes.
For Damn Show?
I'm going to have to.
Destroy All Movies.
It's Damn Jim at Mastodon.social, I believe it is. But you can find us there. I'll have to put the links on damshow.co because right now it just has Twitter links.
Right. And we don't have those
anymore. We're not on Twitter anymore. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
Until next time.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to try to do another one of these.
What's the next one? What's the next episode?
It is Two Aces.
Two Aces.
Which that's we right. watched by mistake. Getting ready for this. So
no, we just watched out of order. It's never a mistake to watch Ted Lasso.
That's true. But it did mess with my mind when we had to go back. So anyway, Two Aces is next. We've already watched it.
We will
we'll be recording Two Aces, another one of these.
Of course, is the debut of Danny Rojas. Everyone's Danny Rojas. Favorite.
Yes. Mexican footballer. There is another one, though, I think. Well, there might be another one on the team. Yes. But he's the one from Guadalajara,
yes.
I think. Yeah. Anyway, we just watched Carol of the Bells, so, you know. Anyway, have a great Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. We'll this will probably be soon. Out after New Year's, but or maybe before.
Maybe before. No, I don't know what he's got planned.
It's not going to need much editing.
I don't know what he has planned here. Yeah. I don't have that much planned, so yeah. I think he's got some.
Happy New Year, and we'll be seeing you next time.
That's right.
On
the Lasso
Personal Dilemma Squad.
All right. Have a good one.